Hello and welcome to JewishRacism.com radio. This is Christopher John Bjerknes, and this evening I'm going to be introducing my audience to Reverend Bedros Hajian. He helped to organize a conference for me in Glendale, California on the Armenian Genocide. Today is Monday, the 15th of October. Good evening, Bedros.
Good evening, Christopher. Thank you for having me on.
Why don't you tell my audience a little bit about yourself?
I was born in Lebanon. I came to the United States at the age of 14 and went to high school in the United States, actually. Got my high school diploma, and currently I do work in people who are disadvantaged in using drugs, gangs, intervention, prevention. I'm ordained minister with the Church of Nazarene. And I also do chaplaincy in prison or jails.
Now, the Armenian community, there's a large Armenian population in Southern California, and the Armenian population in Southern California started almost 100 years ago, if I'm not mistaken, and has grown since the Soviet Union fell apart.
Absolutely. After Soviet Union, people from Armenia started coming to the United States. Before the collapse of Soviet Union, it wasn't so much Armenians here. Maybe it was about 300,000 to 400,000. Now we probably have about 1 million.
1 million nationwide in the U.S. or 1 million in California alone?
I would say 1 million in California alone.
Now, you say that You counsel people in prisons, and when I was in Glendale, I witnessed for myself the fact that you deal with families who are in crises. Many Armenians apparently have gotten caught up in the drug culture of Southern California and are suffering very badly for that. Can you tell us something about that?
Sure. The whole issue is after the collapse of Soviet Union, since most of individuals lived in Soviet Union under communism or any other country that they came from, but I want to concentrate on the philosophy of communism, where they brainwashed them into equality and stealing from the government, most of it. They had to cheat in order to survive. It is a mentality of keeping somebody poor, where somebody has to steal or do any kind of fraud in order to survive. When they came to the United States, it was a free country. It is a free society. Within this free society, they didn't know how to cooperate. They didn't know how to respect the society that they lived in since they came from, where it was oppressed after being oppression. Most of the Armenians that are in drugs, they're confused. They're confused politically, they're confused within their identity, they're confused even who they are. Most of them, when you ask about Armenian history, they don't even know what is Armenian history. I would say other nationalities would know more about Armenian history. Some of those people that are into these gangs or drugs, they wouldn't know anything about it because I've talked to them.
Now, Armenia,
number one, it is a spiritual identity that they don't have. Number two, they don't have national identity. They're lost in the mind, basically.
So, in the let's say 70-year period of Jewish Bolshevism that was imposed on Armenia after the Armenian Republic was destroyed by Ataturk, they have stripped the Armenians of their cultural identity, they have taken away their religion, and they have left the Armenian youth without a sense of identity as Armenians.
Yes, before the Soviet Union, it was a physical genocide. After Soviet Union, it has been a spiritual and mental cultural genocide, which we see until today in the United States. Many of the young Armenians suffer from the genocide of what Soviet Union did. Within the Islamic countries, some of them are intercultural. Basically, they're confused within those cultures. So unless they went to Armenian church or Armenian schools, which Soviet Union didn't have fundamental Armenian schools or fundamental history or to teach the truth to the people, they're pretty much confused.
Now,
I would call it cultural genocide.
You said that you're from Lebanon, and there was a very large Armenian community in Lebanon that's part of the diverse Armenian diaspora, which is spread out around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Were you in Lebanon at the time of the civil war in which Christians and Muslims were fighting one another?
Yes, I was. I grew up in Lebanon. I grew up in Anjar, which is part of Bekaa Valley. I grew up in the orphanage in Anjar, actually, which was a German missionary orphanage. It was run by German missionaries. Before even the civil war, I would see a lot of war that was never in the media. It was the border of almost the border of Damascus and Israel, where you would see Israeli jet fighters come and bomb Syrian borders, and Syrians would bomb Israel. But this was never you would see this in the media, mass media, or in the United States or anywhere else. But you would see it in Lebanon. We were also told, do not pick up anything from the streets, toys, because it was deliberately thrown by the planes. When a child picks it up and goes home, it will explode in the home in the middle of the night. It will basically kill the whole family. Those are facts what I've seen with my eyes and heard with my ears.
What was the Lebanese perception of what generated the civil war? Did they have any understanding of the influence of the Israelis and the Israelis' desire to crush the Palestinians who were living in southern Lebanon?
That's pretty much... the Arabs had their own problems. It was not so much Christian-Muslim, but it was created into Christian-Muslim. The Falangists were backed by the Zionists. I don't know who the Palestinians were backed by, but if you were there, I was young then, I couldn't figure out what was going on.
I see. Was there an alliance between the Muslims and the Syrians, perhaps?
You know, I was there during the Civil War 2 years, and at one point, within 2 years, Syria aligned with the Muslims about 6 times and aligned with the Christians 6 times, so they always changed their positions. You wouldn't know who Syrians protected or who were they against. For example, there was a war, the Falangists and the Ahrar Party, the organizations, they attacked Tal Zahdar, which was a mountainous area in Lebanon. The Syrians backed the Falangists then, and later on they backed the Islams and Palestinians. Then they turned around and started backing up the Kataeb, which were the Falangists again. So you would never know what kind of a game was going on.
It almost seems as if both sides just kept the war going for the sake of keeping the war going. Better
right. The most of the time there were sniperists, and when there was a ceasefire, you would see snipers going off. You wouldn't know who's doing it, and the sniper would shoot a member of some party or Muslim or Christian, and the war breaks up again. It was just sniperists who were beginning the war again.
And that could have been Mossad or CIA or who knows
who. It could have been anybody paid by anybody.
Right.
You would never figure out who it was, and you would never, especially sniperists, you would never know where it's coming from.
So the Armenians could never escape these wars imposed between Christians and Muslims even when they went to Lebanon.
Armenians were attacked by Palestinians, and Armenians were attacked by Kataeb Falangists. The Kataebs or the Falangists attacked Armenian neighborhoods at one time. There was a big war in 1982, I believe it was, 1981, 1982. I wasn't there then, but I heard about the news from the United States then.
At one time, there were 200,000 to 400,000 Armenians in Lebanon, were there not?
Yes, I believe maybe it's about 80, 90, or 100,000 right now.
I see.
They all fled to most USA or Kuwait or France, Germany. So it got scattered everywhere else.
Now, you refer to the initial physical annihilation of the Armenians, which, of course, references the Armenian genocide, which is very much in the news today because we have the House Resolution 106 calling for the recognition of the Armenian genocide. What is your opinion as to why this issue is being brought to the forefront today after the Armenians have been trying for decades to get such a resolution passed in the Congress?
First, I would like to emphasize, I would like to comment on a few words. We know it was more than a genocide. It was mass killing of people, literate, to wipe out a whole nation, whole ethnicity, which were the Armenians, Armenian Christians.
It was a policy of extermination.
There was a specific policy to kill and to destroy.
Because genocide
From newborns all the way to the elders.
Because genocide can also refer to the displacement of a population or the annihilation of a culture.
Yes, but there are facts and evidences that it was not only genocide, it was Holocaust. And at those times, there's some individuals who named it a Holocaust, specifically.
Yes, repeatedly, all the way from the 1890s through to the 1930s, they referred to it as the Armenian Holocaust.
Yes. Just because they were Armenians, they were murdered, they were killed, they were raped, they were forced to accept Islam, they were forced to walk in the desert and starve to death, they were raped in the desert. So we know what happened is real, nobody can deny it. And the deniers, the only deniers who are playing the game of denying, they have something to do with it. Unless they wouldn't deny it. The truth is the truth.
Let's go through...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I think it's important to identify who the Armenians were, the conditions that they were in before the genocide began, and who was blamed for the genocide, who actually perpetrated the genocide. These type of facts... Because in the media today, it becomes very confused and politicized, and it would be nice to have a pure historical outlook and perspective on what happened. Who are the Armenians? Many people don't even know that.
The Armenians are the first Christian people on this planet. As a nation, they accepted. And Armenians go back to before Christ. And during Christ, when Christians, whoever knows the Bible, in the Gospel of John, when two Greeks came and wanted to talk to Jesus, and Peter said to Jesus, there are two Greeks that want to talk to you, and Jesus said, I will talk to them later, it's not my time to talk to them now. Those were sent by the Armenian king, and those days Greeks were known as non-believers, that everybody was called Greeks, not people of God, basically. Those two were messengers from the Armenian king, and it is in the Catholic history book, in the historic religion books. When they came to see Jesus, they had a message from our king of Urfa, which stated, I've heard that you're God or son of God, and I have heard that where you live, the Jews are harassing you and want to kill you. I'm ready to send my army to protect you, and I have a land called Armenia, homeland called Armenia, to invite you in my land, and I'm willing to give half of my kingdom to you. That letter was sent by our king. And the answer was, I will not be able to come right now, but soon I will send my messages to you. I anoint you, and I anoint your land. And through the power of God, we were elected as Christians, as children of God. And the anointing came to us. There are many passages in the Bible where it refers to Armenia.
And
what
Armenia,
I'm trying to explain, Armenians go back, way back, and they have been very cultural, intelligent individuals, and as a country, as kings, they ruled many dynasties.
And Armenia itself, the territory, was part of what is known, what is commonly believed to have been the Garden of Eden, and Mount
Absolutely.
Ararat is where Noah supposedly landed his ark.
Right.
So
it is the Western Armenia, Mount Ararat, right now when they say Van, Erzurum, Nakhichevan, Artsakh, all those are Armenian lands, historically. And it is not nobody else's land, but Armenian land. That's where Armenians, Urartus, lived.
And it is primarily between the Caspian Sea and the Black Sea, and what is today Eastern Turkey is considered by the Armenians Western Armenia.
Yes. So
in Anatolia, in what the Ottoman Turks considered Turkey proper, you had a very large population of Armenians who were living on territories that they had been living on since ancient times.
Yes.
And there was also a community in Cilicia that had been chased there and had established themselves, when was it, in the 900s or the 1200s?
Yes.
And they
about 900s.
They had their own culture, and they developed their own dialects, and they also had a very strong Armenian community, which was in Anatolia, Turkey proper, of the vast Turkish Empire.
Yes. You are very correct on that. So what I'm trying to get to is 301 AD, that's when Armenians as a nation accepted Christianity. It was the first nation who acknowledged Christianity, and they started worshiping Lord Jesus Christ.
And that resulted in a blossoming of Armenian culture and Armenian literature.
That's where all the wars started after that. The attacks, the humiliation, and what we see today.
But also there was a beautiful flourishing of Armenian culture, the icon artistry.
The Armenian alphabet.
The Armenian alphabet, which resulted in the history. I forget the man's name, but there was a famous Armenian who began to record.
Mashtots.
Yes, began to record all the history of Christianity.
Right. He's Mesrop Mashtots, who was the author of the alphabet, and he was inspired by God.
And this ancient, beautiful culture, again, had another flourishing within the Ottoman Empire. The Armenians were freed largely from military service because of the millet system in the Turkish Empire, which was a form of discrimination, but also freed them up. They could simply pay taxes instead of doing military service.
Armenians were called Gavurs in the Ottoman Empire. Gavur is a derogatory word where it's like a goy, let's put it that way. They were second-class citizens. But also they were educated and intellectual Armenians who ran the Ottoman Empire, who controlled, who did the economy, who oversaw the business. That part is true also, yes.
And they kept the empire alive and flourishing. They advised...
Economically, yes.
But also bureaucratically.
Yes, economically, bureaucratically, they were the ones who ran the Ottoman Empire at that point, at that time. But that we're not saying they were not harassed. They were harassed also, and there was 300,000 Armenians who were butchered by Sultan Hamid.
Yes, the Red Sultan.
Right.
Now, the situation that we face today, where the Armenian Genocide Resolution is being brought forth, it seems that events are deliberately conspiring to repeat history. The Armenian Genocide was integrally tied to the First World War, and the First World War provided the opportunity for the Young Turks to slaughter the Armenians with comparative immunity?
Because they were called revolutionaries, and they were called the traitors of the Ottoman Empire. That's why the revolutionaries stood up, because there was a massacre at that time. There was a harassment of second-class citizens, so they had to fight back. They had to liberate the homeland. It is a God-given land that it was to. It belongs to us until today, and the Ottomans took it from us, the Byzantines and then the Ottomans. So it is still our land, let's put it this way.
And you were living on it.
Yes, and it was. That's where our forefathers were born, and that's where we come from.
That's why you were revolutionaries and not conquerors. You were in your ancestral homelands. It's not like somebody who wanted to regain an ancestral homeland. You were there.
Yes.
And you... Yes.
I'm sorry.
And you were also caught up with the Russians and the Tsar, and there were revolutionary movements against the Tsar concurrently with the revolutionary movements against the Sultan.
So, the whole issue, we were able to keep us as Christians. We were not forced to change into Muslim. We were still Christians there. We had churches, and our churches were not demolished or burned before the genocide. And that's where we have a question: why and who instigated this genocide? Who instigated this Holocaust of and misery of our people? And why are we not being told the truth? Why do we have to lie and act as if the word genocide is going to save us? We know it happened, and it is a great thing for the Congress to acknowledge it, but I've been seeing news lately. We're getting the blame because the Armenian Genocide Bill is on the floor, because the Armenian Genocide Bill is passing. Turks are saying we are going to attack Kurds. Turks are saying we are going to break our relationship with the United States. They're intentionally throwing the guilt on us, we see. And it is the same game what they played about 92 years ago. It is exactly the same game, nothing else.
With the same players.
With the same players,
except
with the same faces, but I'm amazed. Our people have to wake up. Our people have to become one power and one voice. Yes, we do need the recognition of genocide. We do need to acknowledge to the world that 92 years ago there were a group of people who were called Young Turks, Freemasons, who organized our genocide, who in their secret societies organized and planned mass murder of our population. We know that already. And what amazes me is there is mass arguments left and right. Did this happen or did this not happen? There's mass arguments and blames of what happened in the past. There are presidents who come to Armenian monuments, Armenian on April 24, and they announce one thing, and when they're in the office, they deny everything. So I feel like we're being put in a game, and the blame is going to come on us again.
And the game is the same game. Now,
yes.
When the initial phases of the Armenian Genocide began in 1894 through 1896, we had Abdul Hamid II as Sultan of the Turkish Empire and as Caliph of the Islamic faith. There were advisors that he had who were Zionist Jews and who were crypto-Jews, known as the Derneme, who descended from a specific sect of Shabbatai Tsevi. Now, I'm not going to go too deeply into that history because it will be distracting.
Right.
There were Zionist influences, and Palestine was a part of the Turkish Empire, and in order for Zionist Jews to take Palestine, they would have to partition the Turkish Empire, and in order to partition the Turkish Empire, they would have to destroy it. Now, it was the Armenians who kept the Turkish Empire alive, so they were a major obstacle. There was also a religious mythology that the Armenians were the Amalekites, and the Jews are commanded to exterminate the Amalekites. And also the Armenians were business competition and real estate competition for the Jews who wanted to move Russian Jews into Armenia and all over Anatolia and in Iraq, what became Iraq, as well as into Palestine, because they viewed all that as ancient Jewish territory. Now, it was this group, the same group, who also organized the Armenian revolutionaries, known as the Hunchaks. And then later came the Tashnaks, who were founded by Christopher Mikaelian. Is that correct?
Yes. Christopher Rostam Zavarian. You're talking three individuals.
And these were communists who had ties with revolutionaries in Russia. So they were not only trying to destroy the Turkish Empire, they were also trying to destroy the Russian Empire. And it was the Russian Empire which had offered the Armenians protection from the Sultan in the Treaty of Berlin. Well, the Treaty of Berlin took away that protection. It was the Treaty of San Stefano, where the Russians were granted oversight over the Armenian community. Then the Treaty of Berlin largely took it away. But it was the Armenian revolutionaries who alienated the Armenian people, mostly from the Tsar, who was out to protect the Armenian people. And John Kirikosian, in his book, The Armenian Genocide, The Young Turks Before the Judgment of History, spells that out very clearly, that these people served as traitors to the Armenian people and gave the Sultan a pretext to slaughter the Armenians. And these same Zionist Jews went to the Sultan and said, hey, there are these Christians within your empire who are going to destroy it and try to convert all Muslims to Christianity.
Well, I would like to specifically add, most of the revolutionaries that were in before 1915, they were honest, they wanted to liberate the land, and most of them were coming from oppressed regions of Western Armenia. They were basically oppressed by the government, Ottoman government. And that's behind the powers, there was some socialism, as we know what socialism is capable of. So what's the birth of socialism? It's a network of socialism, and we know Hunchak is social democrat, Hunchak party, which is which was based in Switzerland, I believe.
But these parties also align themselves with the Young Turks, who eventually committed a far worse genocide against the Armenian people. Is that correct?
You're absolutely right on that. And I would like to, when there was the massacre going on before 1915, Young Turks promised to these revolutionaries that we will help you to get freedom, just like right now Kurds are being promised by United States, by Israeli government, we will give you freedom, we will allow, and Armenians were promised at that time.
And the Kurds are
secret societies.
The Kurds are stepping into the exact same trap into which the Armenians stepped.
Absolutely.
And
we're seeing another massacre coming. Holocaust is coming upon the world, actually, this time.
And again,
where
the Armenians are being
blamed.
This is
where I would like to say, this is all being done in the name of God. It's very important for us to know. This history has repeated itself before even Armenian genocide. There were genocides of many other ethnicities, Hittites, Sumerians, and we can go way back. But this is all being done in the name of God. But which God? It's not the real God. That's what I want to mention. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, we read, it says, we to the rebellious children who execute a plan but not mine, and make an alliance but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin. For this is the rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to instructions of the Lord. It's, God even spoke against it, as we read in the book.
Now, as a man of God, you, and as a human being, you must be very concerned that the Armenian Genocide Resolution is being used as a pretext to foment war, potentially to foment a genocide of the Kurds, and potentially to create a World War III after this exact same pattern that World War I was created. Is that correct?
Absolutely. And we're just being... our forefathers' blood right now is being used by these Satan worshippers, I can say. And we're just walking into it. Of course, it is very necessary for the world to recognize what happened in the First World War, the first genocide of this century. Of course we want to do that. But I see, and many people see, we're getting the blame right now.
And beyond that, this history and this situation, which is necessary, is being exploited by these forces to pit people against one another in the exact same way that it was exploited to pit the Turks and Kurds against the Armenians and slaughter them.
Yes, and you know, we have to realize again why there is all this, you know, fighting against each, why are they instigating people against each other? It's very important for us to understand there is a secret behind it, and in the most darkness of secret lodges, Scottish Rite and this Freemasonry lodges, where people gather, and I'm not talking about everybody that is a Freemason knows about this, but the higher, the lords, they gather nationalities together, religions together, and they make them swear to each other they're brothers, and they organize all these mass murders for one reason only, and it is also in prophecy what we see. It is only to rebuild the Temple of Solomon, where Antichrist is going to come and sit and claim himself as Lord of the world and universe.
Now, where is...
all people will worship him according. And this is where we're seeing we're going exactly, to create these wars, to forget national identities, to numb people, to put youngsters in drugs, to put youngsters in gang societies. And we have a drug society of not only Armenians, I'm talking about Americans. We have youngsters who are growing up in this drug society, making people brainwashed into being born as, you know, homosexual, making people being brainwashed as being born certain way. And this is all against the plan of God that created this world. And that's where we're heading right now. Of course they want to create all this hatred within nationalities to kill each other, to destroy each other, so they can do their own work.
Now, let's be very clear about the Armenian position, since Armenians are being blamed. What is the Armenian position towards Turkey, towards the Kurds, towards peace, towards brotherhood, and why is it that the Armenians are pushing the Armenian Genocide Resolution? Do the Armenians want to see the Kurds massacred by the Turks? Do the Armenians have a hatred of Turks? Do the Armenians want to balkanize Turkey and destroy it as a nation?
Armenians don't want to see the massacre of Turkey. Armenians don't want to see the Turks destroyed. Armenians want justice. What happened 92 years ago? And since Turkey is controlled by the military junta, which is controlled by the Dolmens, the same Young Turk philosophy, and it is the same powers behind. That's why they have a very great relationship with the State of Israel. Obviously, they don't want to acknowledge what happened in the past. Obviously, they don't want to open up their real books to announce what happened. So Armenians don't want to see any wars happening around the world. Armenians want justice and acknowledgement what happened 92 years ago. It was perpetrated, and it was done, not rejection as what we hear today. It was never done. Both sides died. You know, in a war, two parties die. But when there's a proclamation to deport mass population of Armenians from their homeland, into the desert and in the caves, burn them, rape the woman, convert them into Islam, kill the children, let them starve to death, and mass orphanages open where people, where youngsters are grow up without moms and dads in the orphanages. This is called mass murder, mass Holocaust. This is what Holocaust is actually. All Armenians want is justice, nothing else.
So you're not out for blood. You don't want an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth.
No, that's not what God teaches us, and we're not there to do eye for an eye. That's not our purpose. Our purpose is we want justice. What it is? It is same as somebody invading in your own home, and killing your family. Do you want justice or not?
Of course
we do.
So
it is the same as United States being attacked. Are we supposed to just forget about it? Ask questions? How many people died? How many? Was it a attack? Was it a mass murdering machine? Are we supposed to ask these questions, or are we supposed to ask for justice?
Now, the forces which are behind this are, as you say, Freemasonry, but more significantly, Zionism. And it should be noted that the leaders of the Young Turk movement were both Freemasons and Zionist Jews.
We can never separate Freemasonry from Zionism. It is the same ideology.
And with the same ultimate goals.
The ultimate goal is to put man's heart and worship whoever lives in Temple of Solomon. You know, that's where we're going at. And we cannot separate them from each other. Today, churches are controlled by Freemasonry, and we see this outcome of the churches where the pastors are Freemasons. You cannot worship two lords. You cannot give an oath to God, and you cannot give an oath to Lucifer, which is, you cannot give an oath to Adonai, and you cannot give an oath to Lucifer.
And
but people are doing it, unfortunately.
The common goals, as you say, are to rebuild the Temple of Solomon, which means the destruction of the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem.
And we see it in the news every day. That's the latest fighting going on. They want to rebuild their own temple, and according to them, it was God's given to them, and they want to reestablish the temple and return of sacrifices and whatever they were doing thousands of years ago, 2,000 years ago.
And there have been a series of provocations. They are conducting archaeological excavations on the site. Ariel Sharon marched up there, I think, in 2000, which was a terrible provocation.
And that's where
the
riots started.
Yes. And
we see all the evidence. It's leading to that. And, you know, I would say Armenians were massacred, Armenians were killed deliberately as a sacrifice to Satan in order to reestablish the temple and conquer nationalities, conquer Christianity, basically destroy Christian faith in Armenian men and women. As we see, it is destroyed, unfortunately. And that's where we're seeing the problem at right now. And
what you say has a religious basis within the Talmud in the Book of Sanhedrin. It specifically states that in order to build the Temple of Solomon and to reestablish the Jewish people in Palestine, the Amalekites have to be exterminated. And the Jews have a tradition from the Byzantine Empire that the Armenians are the Amalekites. So what you're saying has an absolute factual basis.
It is a factual base, and I can prove it by many books, and you know, religiously or biblically, or secular, you know, through history. And of course, the deniers are going to disagree with it, and of course, Freemasonry members of Freemasons, they are going to disagree with it because they think they can lie to us and say it is a charitable organization. We help people. They organize their mass murderers in their lodges, just like they organize it in Skulls and Bones, and they organize it in Bohemian Grove. The same situation happened in the Grand Orient of Lodge Hotel of Salonika, where they organized it, the Armenian Genocide. And there is a good book on that, where the inner folds of the Ottoman Revolution It is in Armenian and Turkish and Arabic, I believe, written by Mevlân Zadet Rafit, who published it in 1929. The author is pro-Sultan Turk, claims that the Armenian genocide was decided in August 1910 and October 1911 by Young Turk Committee, composed entirely of displaced Balkan Jews in the format of syncretist Jewish Muslims, sects which include Talat, Enver, Shakir, Jamal, Nazim, posting as Muslim. It met in the Rothschild-funded Grand Orient Lodge of Salonika. Synchronized means combination of different forms of belief or practice.
Now, so, I should mention, just to be thorough, that some have attempted to discredit this man in his book, and I think they claim that he was a Kurd, which is ironic. But I believe that the book and the story are very genuine, and they agree with all of the other facts which I've been able to derive from other sources. They are perfectly consistent with everything else I've found, so I think it's authentic.
There was also in 1994 a conference where Joseph Brawada, I don't know if you've heard of it, in the institute entitled Young Turks to Control Middle East, claims founder of Young Turks to be certain Jew by the name of Emmanuel Krosso. He states Krosso set up the Young Turks secret society in 1890 in Salonika, then part of the Turkey and now part of Greece. Krosso was also Grand Master of Italian Masonic Lodge there called Macedonian Resacruto.
Macedonia Resort Lodge.
The lodge was the headquarters of Young Turks,
and
all the Young Turks leadership were members there.
And he was heavily involved with the Jewish bankers and the Rothschild family.
Absolutely.
And he was not a crypto Jew. He was one of the many open Jews who were also involved in the Young Turk takeover of the Ottoman Empire. There's a myth that it was only Dernme Jews who were involved, but there were many Jews who were both secular and religious Jews who were not Dernme, such as Vladimir Jabotinsky, Alexander Helfand. Many of these same Jews were also involved in the Russian revolutions.
So those are the facts, and there are millions and millions of facts. There are good books to read, and people can research it.
I especially wanted to interview you this evening so that we can make clear that the Armenian people do not want to see Turkey go down the road towards war. This is not the intention of the Armenian Genocide Resolution, nor is it any kind of a solution to the problems that exist in the region, nor does it do justice either to the Armenians or to the Turks. And the Turks have also been abused by this same group of Dernme who run the country to this day, as you said, in a military junta which has taken over from Ataturk as the dictator of the Turkish nation.
Right. And they were responsible for the murder of Hrant Dink a few months ago.
And Hrant Dink also wanted to better relations between Turkey and Armenia.
That's why they killed him.
That's why they killed him. These people are not trying to improve the situation. They're continually looking for pretexts to cause war and mayhem. And the Armenians cannot be blamed for what these people do, because even if the Armenians did absolutely nothing, the Israeli Mossad has thoroughly infiltrated the PKK, which was created by communists. And whenever you have communists, you have to suspect that there are Jewish Bolsheviks involved. And they are fomenting these attacks against Turkey. Now, why isn't Turkey telling Israel to stop this covert war against Turkey unless the leaders of Turkey itself want this war to happen? And they are simply using the Armenians as a pretext to go after the Kurds. And there are many reasons why the Zionists want a war between Turkey and the Kurds. They want to control the oil of Kirkuk. And as much oil as we have found in the Persian Gulf, there is a vast amount of oil underneath the Caspian Sea in cities like Baku. And the Rothschilds, I think you mentioned Bruda, I think he was one of the ones who pointed out that the Rothschilds had been after the oil of Baku since the 1870s. And
since 1880.
since 1880? I thought it was 70.
French branch of Rothschild family acquired interest in Russia, Baku. It was, according to Mr. Sheck, it was 1880.
1880.
Yes.
And where is the city of Baku?
It's in Azerbaijan.
And the Azers and the Armenians have recently, since the breakup of the Soviet Union, there have been disputes over territory, and there is a large Armenian population within Karabakh, is it, inside of Azerbaijan?
Yeah, that has always been, it's Artsakh, it has always been our homeland, and it was separated by us from, the separation was done by Stalin, it was given to Azeris, and if you look at Azerbaijan's map, you will see Nakhchivan is on the other side, and Karabakh is on the other side. In the middle is Armenia, so Azerbaijan has two sides of the country. It doesn't even the map doesn't even make sense. The name Nakhchivan is Armenian; it has always been an Armenian land. But those issues were instigated by, again, the secret powers, where we see Stalin knew what he was doing when he separated. He knew it was going to be war at the, you know, after all, when there was a collapse of Soviet Union.
Now, what I'm getting at is that one of the goals that was accomplished by the Jewish bankers and by the Zionists in annihilating the Armenian people was to chase them out of that region so that there would be no indigenous population to object to the Rothschilds taking over of all that oil. Is that true?
Right. Absolutely. Now we see the center of Zionism, another place is Georgia, where Armenians have problem with Akhar Kalakh, and the Georgian pipeline is going through Baku. We see another problem there, where it is Georgians are heavily infiltrated by Zionism.
And Georgians are Christians as well, and would form a natural bridge between Armenia and Europe, which has now been cut off because they have been corrupted by Zionists. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It's, we can say they're Zionist agents. That's the last thing we can name them.
So Armenia's situation today is precarious because Armenia is caught between Azerbaijan and Turkey, which are allies, and Georgia, which is an ally of Israel, and Israel is fomenting the Turks to attack the Kurds, to attack the Turks, so that the Turks instigate a war which will bring all these disputes to a boiling point.
The funny thing is, Turks, they're claiming they want, since the United States is, according to them, United States is against it, and they're saying do not attack Kurds. Now they're saying, since you're accepting the resolution, since you want to put it on the floor and pass it, we will attack the Kurds.
So it seems as if the Democrats in Congress, who are controlled by Zionists, are finally pushing this almost to give Turkey a pretext to launch a war against the Kurds.
Now we see exactly the wars that we were suspecting months ago. That's what you basically brought it up a month ago, 5-6 months ago, I believe, in an interview. And exact wars are coming up, the same wars.
The same wars, and with the same objectives, to balkanize the region, to pit the people against one another, and to foment wars, and ultimately to end up with the oil and control.
It's all oil, money, and religious control over people, as we see.
Now, have the Armenians been infiltrated by Zionism or Freemasonry?
Armenians have been infiltrated by, heavily been infiltrated by Freemasonry, unfortunately.
Which classes of Armenians? The upper classes, the middle
classes?
The
upper classes. Mostly it is infiltrated by it, and they do not want to tell the truth. What we're talking about, they don't want us to talk about it, and they call us anti-Semites because of that. I guess if you do research and you tell, you claim your ethical rights to tell the truth to people, you can be called anti-Semite, I guess.
Now, Freemasonry is a very big problem then for the Armenians, because it results in a betrayal of Armenian interests for the interests of the Israelis.
Freemasonry is one of the guilds that organized our genocide. And how can any Armenian become a Freemason since they organized our genocide?
What hope is there of breaking this Freemasonic mindset and getting these people to come forward and to change their ideology and to begin to become Armenian patriots and put Armenian interests ahead of the interests of all others?
I would say like this. Most Freemasons are, I'm sorry to say, they are very weak-spirited because when they go into Freemasonry, they go in for their gain, to embed their business, to get a better economical connections, and they sell their soul to the Lord of the Lodges.
They also, when they do this, they enter a social network where they're promoted to become political and business leaders in the community. Is that right?
This has very much religious faith in it too, also, because when Satan, in the Bible, when Satan came and after 40 days of Jesus not eating food or drinking, Satan came, one of the attacks he did, he brought him up on the mountain and said, "All this kingdom is mine, and it will be to you if you worship me. All this riches is mine, it will be to you if you worship me." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan."
Wherefore does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul?
When a man is selling his soul for money, he can sell his people very easily. I'm sorry to say that, but it's a reality. So what can change this people's minds? They have to know, they have to worship the real Lord, and they have to love their own people and not sell their own people to another murderous genocide, and not lie to their own people, leading them into false lies.
Now,
not get to these people into world of games.
The way that they can be psychologically manipulated is with false promises that they are going to gain something if they're willing to sacrifice the masses for some cause. So I know, and I've spoken to some people who think that they're going to end up with the oil of Baku, and who think that they're going to end up with Western Armenia if they go along with this game, and the genocide resolution is a part of this game, as we both know, to provoke a war between Iraq, the Kurds, and the Turks. And they think that Turkey is going to be balkanized and Armenia is going to push out the Azeris and take over Baku. And that's not going to happen. And I think the only way to counter that is to inform these people that when all this goes down, they're going to be among those who get slaughtered, and slaughtered most viciously.
Just like what happened in 1915 when they gathered all the intellectuals, all the organizers, all the Freemason Armenians, and they hanged them and they cut their head off. That was exactly the same story when Talat Pasha had his own Armenian brothers in the lodge. The next day, he ordered them to death. So we can't play with fire. We have to wake up.
And the same thing happened in Bolshevik Russia. All the Freemasons and all the others were destroyed. And the same thing happened in Nazi Germany. The Freemasons were attacked and wiped out. So these people ought to realize that the forces who are manipulating them have no respect for them, and know that these people know many secrets and will have to be killed immediately once the revolutions and wars they instigate are successful.
Absolutely, and the time has come for them to wake up, or what's going to happen is, they've infiltrated to the youngsters on the mind, and that's what saddens my heart, actually, where I see Armenian youngsters, not all, but I could say big chunk of percentage are on drugs. And when somebody, that's a game they're playing right now with the young minds, where they don't wake up and they don't see reality and they don't have a voice to talk, because their mind is centered how they get their next drug. Their mind is centered how to join a gang, their mind is centered into worldly things, fantasies, which doesn't have a solution. This is another game the enemy has played in the minds of youngsters to distract them. And when the young generation is not anymore interested, it is very easy to destroy whole nation and whole nationalities.
And fulfill those
They've been able to do that in the United States, in Europe. Especially in the United States, they've been able to destroy Armenian spirit, Armenian Christian spirit. They have been able to do it, and they're good at it.
And that has been a goal of Zionism and Freemasonry from the beginning, and in the original movement of Adam Weishaupt and the Illuminati, their goals were identical with the goals of Zionist Judaism, to create a world government, to destroy the cultures of all non-Jewish people, and to make them subservient to whatever it is that the leaders wanted them to believe and to do.
And they're going according to the plan, exactly. And most of these young men and women, when they hear United States, the genocide is on the floor, which is a good news. It's good for the world to acknowledge it, but they don't think further. Okay, once they accept the genocide, what we're going to do after that? Once they, why are we in this world? Are we going to, they have given their cause into few men's hand, and they don't care about it.
That's one thing I would like to, with you, alert the Armenian people to, is that don't get too entrenched in this one symbolic act. That this symbolic act is secondary to what has already been accomplished. The recognition has occurred simply by these events. The world now knows what the Armenian genocide is, and that it happened, and that the Dernme Jews in Turkey are denying it, but that the historical evidence supports it. So that goal has been attained, and it is not worth more bloodshed and the destruction of the Armenian Republic simply for that symbolic goal. And that the Armenian people have to now come forward and say, we are not looking for a war, we are looking for justice. We want this to be settled in a civilized, dignified, human way. We want to promote humanity and brotherhood, and that we do not want either factions in the Congress to use the Armenian people and the genocide issue to gin up a war that is completely unnecessary and is going to happen not because of what Armenians do or don't do. Armenians are not to blame for the actions of these other people who are simply using this as a pretext to do what they've wanted to do for a very long time.
Absolutely. And but on the other hand, it's a good news that they want to recognize the Armenian genocide, but we have to be ready for everything. We have to wake the youth up so that they can be ready for anything.
But we have to build some kind of a means of communication between Armenians, Kurds, and Turks to settle this thing without violence, without warfare, and without alienation.
Always peace is better than war, because less people will die.
And we have
that's exactly what I was trying to say earlier. After the genocide resolution is acknowledged and respected and it's passed, what are we going to do if the youth are not ready? That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
I see, you're trying
to put more hate. Okay, you know, we have to look at the situation in a simple and, humble heart. And this is what I'm trying to say is, what happened in the past, we can't hate to acknowledge the past. We have to fight for it religiously, and we have to fight for it ethically in order to get the recognition. But we have to take the hate out. Once we take the hate out, and we can sit down and talk, and both parties can come to a conclusion. And it's a very important issue when certain percentage, the leadership of the Armenian community is controlled by Freemasonry, and which Freemasonry is controlled by Zionism, I'm sorry to say that, This is what the whole issue is. If you go to the archives of Scottish Rite in the headquarters of Washington, D.C., you can find the most young Turk leaders were officials in the Scottish Rite. And this is, you can find this in the United States archives, Washington, D.C. What further we have to go and get proofs? The proof is here in the United States even. You know, people can go in the archives and find it. And they can find who were the young Turks.
And
once our younger generation finds out who perpetrated the genocide, then we can solve the problem.
But we have to continually maintain the categories so that they're not blurred and so that the Armenians are not being scapegoated for the actions of the Zionists and the Mossad. Because this is again, exactly what happened when the Armenian genocide happened. You have a revolutionary group of Kurds,
right,
who were set up by communist Jews to agitate the Turks, to get the Turks to massacre large numbers of Kurds so that the Kurds can provoke a war, and at the end of the war they'll be given a nation of Kurdistan, which they never had in the past. And that nation of Kurdistan is going to take a lot of territory from Iran, from Iraq, from Armenia, from Turkey, and from Azerbaijan. And it's never going to happen, but that's the bait that they're using. And the pretext that they're using now, and they've used various pretexts in the past, is the Armenian Genocide Resolution. But it's nonsense. It's all part of a plan that was established a long time ago to throw the Middle East into instability and to generate a Third World War. And we have Jewish leaders like the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations calling it World War III. And we have Newt Gingrich, a Zionist in America, calling it World War III. And this is very serious stuff, and it has nothing to do with the Armenian Genocide Resolution. This is being used cynically by them as part of a game to provide a pretext for this war, so we have to be very careful about that.
And especially the mainstream media, we can hear, they keep sneaky way, they keep announcing, because the Armenian Genocide deal is on the floor, there is not going to be good relationship between Turkey and Armenia. Because there is the Armenian Genocide deal on the floor, Turkey is promising to attack Kurds.
This throws all the blame on the Armenians, and it's completely false.
This is a ridiculous lie. It was planned to happen like this, and they're blaming the Armenians again now.
Absolutely.
And this is done by so-called Republicans, which are supposed to be family value, respect to the human nature, respect to God, and respect to, you know, nationalities. And they're called Republicans, but they're the ones who are attacking the Armenians. It's very interesting.
Well, I think we have to provide a reasonable alternative as to how events can proceed without their being successful, so that we have a humane, reasonable, civilized approach to solving these problems. The problems are that America illegally attacked Iraq and destroyed the nation. That had nothing to do with the Armenians or the Armenian Genocide Resolution. We have now balkanized the nation and created a Kurdish, essentially a Kurdistan within Iraq, and we've created a Sunni region, we've created a Shia region, and then we've committed with the Israelis terrorism against each of these peoples to pit them against one another, and the Armenians had absolutely nothing to do with that, and the Turks had absolutely nothing to do with that. And we have documentation from the BBC that the Israelis have been training the Kurds to attack the Turks. Now, why aren't the Turks going after the Israelis for that? Why do they consider the Israelis a strong ally when the Israelis are attacking Muslims and attacking the Turks via the Kurds? You've got to know that there are traitors within the Turkish government who are Jews who are siding with the Israelis against the interests of the Turkish people. So these problems can be resolved. The Turkish people should not endure Kurdish terrorism. That's indisputable as far as I'm concerned. But the resolution to that problem is in the Israelis' hands. All they have to do is stop provoking the PKK to run in and attack the Turks. And then the territorial issues can be negotiated and discussed in a civilized way. it doesn't have to result in war. And it's obvious that they don't want there to be a resolution for this, because they're looking for each and every pretext to seize upon to gin up this war instead of trying to resolve it. That's why I strongly urge the Armenians to consider that some of these politicians who are supporting the genocide resolution have ulterior motives. They want to vilify the Muslims, and they want to provide Turkey with a pretext to attack the Kurds. They want to see Turkey destroyed, and they want to see Turkey destroy itself, just as it did in World War I.
Absolutely. And
Armenia is in jeopardy as well, because Armenia is in that neighborhood.
There's a big war expected from all these, and unfortunately, we're heading towards that war that we all talked about and we all knew about. World War III, and it's probably getting there.
But it can be prevented if we speak up and we explain to the public how these events are unfolding and what are the real motives behind these events. Because we do have to settle these problems. We have destroyed the nation of Iraq, and we have to settle that problem. And the solution to that problem is to not blame the Armenian Genocide Resolution for the tensions between the Kurds and the Turks. We have to solve those tensions. And the Turks also bear some responsibility, because they have a tendency to view all Turks as if descended from the Seljuk Turks, and that's not a historical reality. Probably the majority of the Turks of Turkey are not of Seljuk Turk descent, but are Armenians, Kurds, Arabs, and other mixtures.
They're all mixed up right now as we speak, yeah, because there were mass population of Armenians who converted to Islam. They were forced into Islam at that time, and some of them confessed they were Armenians.
But that's nothing that Turkey should be ashamed of. That's something that they should celebrate. They're an ethnically diverse, wonderful country, and they are artificially ginning up a nationalistic mythology in the same way that the Zionists provoked the Nazis to gin up a nationalistic mythology based on an ethnic purity which doesn't have a historic or a genetic basis. They are creating they're using exactly the same methods they've always used in the past to pit people against one another. Right before the Armenian genocide, the Rothschilds and the Jews who ran England sent in agents to promote the idea of pan-Turkism, the idea that the entire Turkish Empire should become Turkish. And it was a racist, silly mythology that destroyed the Turkish Empire instead of building it up. And Turkey is being set up to be balkanized in the same way by generating these ethnic tensions within the nation, which are artificial. The whole nation should be working together instead of fighting against itself. And the Kurds bear some responsibility for that, and the Turks bear some responsibility for that. But the ones who are really provoking it all are the Israelis. So the solution has to be found in isolating and exposing those Israeli elements who are fomenting all this internecine fighting in that region. And we can do it. And it would be very helpful if the Turks would become involved in trying to expose that instead of playing into the game through their nationalistic pride.
Well, that's very, very hard. That's very hard to do for the Turks, unfortunately, because their foundation is founded on Atatürk, which is, again, Doma, as we know. And it is controlled by their military.
And their media is all owned by the Dönme, and most of the economy is run by the Dönme.
Armenians that live in Turkey, they're not all free as we think they are. Even though in the media outside you hear it is all freedom for Armenians, but that's not what it is.
Well, the Dönme are trying to gin up a push to expel the Armenians or to jail the Armenians.
That's one of their promises if there's genocide.
And that's exactly what happened in the Armenian genocide of the past, is that they tried to isolate and dehumanize and form a group, there are several stages to genocide, and one of those stages is identifying a group and then identifying that group as a threat, and then dehumanizing that group and then localizing that group, and then ultimately you either have the expulsion or the murder of that group or both. So they're creating another Armenian genocide because they're either going to expel them or kill them. And this is terrible stuff. And the media is only feeding it instead of trying to solve it. Not only the media, but the American government, the Israeli government, the EU. All these forces are working against the world public to create war instead of trying to prevent war.
But, you know, the problem here is we, the Armenians, after 92 years, after... It's sad. After 92 years, they just want to talk about it. They've been denying it. Recently, Mr. Bush gets up and talks against it. During his campaign, I remember there were pamphlets where he said, when I'm a president, I'm going to recognize the Armenian genocide. I'm going to announce it. He even announced it during his campaign. All of a sudden, he's changed his mind. That's another fact that they are told what to do. They cannot talk until they're out of the office. But the sad thing for the Armenians is this. We've been humiliated. We've been kicked out of our homeland. We've been murdered through Holocaust. And we've been orphaned. We're scattered all over the world. And yet they want to ask a question, was there Armenian genocide? So that angers many Armenian young men and women to even talk about it, what happened in the past.
But the Armenians...
Turkey has to apologize. That's a fact. Turkey has to apologize because the issue over here is if two friends, one does another one wrong, one steals from the other one, he cannot be forgiven unless he's asked for forgiveness.
There's no disputing it, but it is also incumbent upon the Armenians, as you say, to organize and to bring this about. You can't simply demand it. There has to be a plan of operation to make
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely, I'm 100% with you because we hear all kinds of news every day from different sources, but it sounds like it is very unorganized. And the media talks about it derogatory. They say because of this, we're suspending Armenians. Because of Armenian issue, we're having problem with Turkey. And no one in the Armenian public or in the media from Armenian side talks against it. So that's what is very fishy to me.
Well, let's dissect the many fallacies and false premises that are involved in that. We should first ask, why are we in Iraq in the first place, and why are our troops there and in jeopardy? And the answer to that is because Israelis and Zionists within our government brought us there. So the solution to that problem lies somewhere in getting rid of this fifth column that Israel has set into America to subvert our interests for their interests. Now, to blame the Armenians doesn't solve that problem. All it does is create a scapegoat and prevent us from solving that problem, which is exactly what they want. They don't want the problem solved. There are many people who pretend to want to solve the problem, but they only do that so that they can subvert the solution of the problem.
You're right on that. And,
but the Armenians have to do things that they are not obliged to do morally, but they have to do things that they're obliged to do in their own self-interest. They have to help somehow, all humanity has to help somehow resolve this issue between the Kurds and the Turks, and to undo the damage that the United States and the Zionists have done to Iraq, because we have there a confluence of three forces being artificially opposed to one another, the Shia, the Sunni, and the Kurds, and that's going to drag in the Azers, the Iranians, the Syrians, the Armenians, and the Turks. So we can't just holler at them to stop doing what they're doing. We have to organize to do something and to take some action. And the Armenians are good in that you have this ethnic identity, and you also have a well-educated and well-dispersed population that can echo information to other populations.
Mm-hmm.
But too many Armenians are afraid of being stigmatized as if anti-Semites or any other kind of label, and now they're trying to pin blame for you on the battles between the Turks and the Kurds, which Armenians had absolutely nothing to do with, and they're making the outrageous lie that the Armenians are somehow jeopardizing American troops in Iraq.
Unfortunately, it is true, and I align with your statement 100%, and that's what my concern is, and that's what I've been hearing for these few days.
Well, the Armenians have to say very loudly that we want the Armenian Genocide Resolution merely because it is a historical fact and it has a precedent in the way that Jewish people have insisted upon resolutions recognizing the Holocaust. It is not political in the sense that it is meant to generate any kind of agitation. It is meant to resolve issues, not to create problems, and that these problems are being created by opportunists who would seize on some other pretext to do exactly the same thing. And you Armenians have to wish all parties well and say that you're after historical justice, you're not after bloodshed or revenge. And you have to make that very clear, and you have to be heard over the lies of the media. And I would take that issue very seriously, because if World War III breaks out, there's a chance that the Armenian Republic will be destroyed and be destroyed for all time.
Well, that's in a war, all the republics are going to... World War III is going to destroy a lot of republics, I believe, and it's not a pleasant thing, unfortunately. And
the alternative is so wonderful. You know, if the Armenians can engage in a dialogue with the Turks, there's a lot of oil in that region, there's a lot of wealth flowing through that region. Both the Turks and the Armenians want to have strong ties with both Russia.
But the question comes, how can they create a dialogue with the Turks if the Turks are being controlled by the Juntas? That's a million question I have to ask.
But we can't simply say that that's an impasse. We have to be clever enough and smart enough to create some kind of a solution. And the Armenians have to create organizations to create dialogue. You can't simply say that this problem exists, therefore we can't do anything. You have to say that this problem exists, therefore we must create a solution for it. And the Armenian government has been very lax in trying to create a solution for it, in large part because the Turkish government has thrown so many obstacles in the way that the Armenians have been disgusted and believe that all their goodwill gestures are only going to be met with betrayals. But I think, in part, the Armenians have to face the reality that they've made mistakes, too, in not going directly to the Turkish people. The Armenian government should create documentaries in Turkish, and perhaps they have. They should also create books and educational materials and create an intercultural exchange where these ideas can be disseminated, and it's very easy to do with the internet. And it's got to be done, and it's got to be done quickly. The situation should not be permitted to deteriorate, and the Armenians should not only focus on the symbolic act of the genocide resolution. They have to have a comprehensive strategy to develop international relations in the region which will perpetuate the survival of the nation and the economic growth of the nation and the stability of the region.
Well, Christopher, I align with your ideas. Peace is more important than war. But the problem is, will the secret societies who organize all these wars, in their lodges, what is their plan? That's the question that I have for them. Because those individuals that are in those lodges, they're not, their concentration is not on drug society or any other society that can destroy human life. Their concentration is how can they concentrate to rebuild Temple of Solomon. That is their whole goal, according what we see. But the whole question is, once we are able to wake the young men and women up out of their sleep, out of their numbness, out of their, you know, false fantasies, they have to do the work. Even young men and women in the United States that live in the United States, they have to wake up and stop this, doing these fantasies, what they've been doing all their lives, and concentrate what is happening to our human race in this world. We're heading for a genocide or holocaust of the world, of all of humankind, except a few, unfortunately. That's what we're seeing. And there is no protection in this. Unless we wake up with one voice and, you know, and fight back with our, without educating ourselves and not obeying what they give us.
Yes, I agree completely with what you're saying. And
and that goes for Turks, Armenians, Kurds. We have to stop this hate within us. But again, there has to be acknowledgement, there has to be forgiveness, they have to ask for forgiveness. All those are important facts that we have to... Turkey has to acknowledge what it did. I'm not talking about simple Turks as a government, because they're rebellious and they don't want to acknowledge, they don't want to accept what has happened. They've been lying all these years. We have to educate our youngsters into concentrating on education in their mind and educating how to not follow these lies that has been controlled by Freemason lodges all the way to, you know, Zionism and secret societies that destruct human mind and heart. This is the only way, and the, you know, New Testament has big answer in it if young men and women follow it.
But these are, we have to reconstitute the family and the community to be productive to healthy human behavior and healthy human psychology, absolutely. But we also have to organize politically to somehow make it impossible for these people to fulfill their objectives. We have to throw a monkey wrench in what they're doing, and we also have to not allow them to manipulate groups by offering them things which appear to be very good for them but ultimately are destructive to them. And I fear that the Armenian Genocide Resolution was initially proposed by the Jewish political community in America as a means to vilify Muslims, and they now, some of them, not all of them, certainly not all of them, see it as an opportunity to provide Turkey with a pretext to attack the Kurds. And I pray that the Armenian community will step forward and assert what it's doing, why it's doing it, and what it hopes the outcome will be, and to say that these issues are not related, despite the lies that are being told to try to make them related. That Armenia did not bring America into Iraq. That Armenia did not pit the Kurds against the Turks.
And that's, Christopher, that's exactly what I'm saying. That's what you've been hearing on the news also, right?
Yes.
And that's what I see again, sacrificial lamb.
And you're also saying the very important thing that the Armenian Genocide Resolution should not be the only thing in the consciousness of Armenians.
It should be higher than that, because we know what happened, and we don't, you know, the thing is, one word is going to be put in the word genocide, changing from massacre into genocide. Okay, the Armenian conscience should be higher to re-educate itself. We know what happened. If the United States recognizes it or not, we don't care. We know what happened.
And you've accomplished already, I think, more than you realize now, because the events are moving so quickly, it hasn't settled in on you. But the distinction of today from a year ago in terms of the world's consciousness of the Armenian genocide is completely different. And it had a much greater effect than when the French recognized it or any of the past events. So I think you can take great delight in the fact that it has been recognized much more than was hoped for a year ago.
Right. So, and I don't want to get the wrong impression. It is very important for it to pass. But we shouldn't only concentrate on that. That's what I'm trying to say right here. It's not the only thing that the Armenian young men and women should do. Once it passes, what are we going to do? It's very important. What is in the conscience of Armenian men and women to do the next step?
And what is in the political planning of the Armenian government?
Absolutely. And I don't know what is the political planning in the Armenian government, since it's being controlled by, I'm sorry to say, Freemasons again, and destroy and distract human mind.
What have you seen happening to deliberately depopulate and economically strangulate the Armenian Republic that was formed after the Soviet Union dissolved? Because the Armenian Republic was one of the Soviet republics.
You know, that's a very good question. I have a audio tape that was recorded in Armenia, somebody translated it in English. I have the audio tape also in English, and I would like you to listen it to one day. There was a certain man who went to Armenia, and while he was traveling in a taxi, the driver of the taxi started talking to the person, to the passenger, and the passenger asked, there were few people in the taxi, the passenger asked, and he was recording the conversation. The passenger asked, why Armenia is being depopulated? Why all of a sudden starvation? Why all of a sudden there is no food economy? Is it because the Soviet Union collapsed? One of the individuals started talking. He stated, this is all a Freemasonic plan. This is how we are going to control all over the world. The initial subject is to starve people so they can depopulate the population in Armenia, so they can run to other countries, assimilate in other countries. That's called cultural genocide, specifically. And they confess to it. By money and power, we will control them, he said. And sure after that, we see mass numbers of Armenians coming from Armenia to the United States, and most of these young men and women today are on drugs, unfortunately. This is the very plan from the higher-ups, how to destroy the Christian Armenian mind from beginning. Whatever Talat, whatever Enver, whatever those Pashas were not able to do, the Young Turks were not able to do, because we survived through the grace of God, they are after it to still destroy it. And why Armenian? Specifically, it is the first nation that accepted Christianity, that acknowledged Christianity. They want to destroy Christianity specifically.
And this has been brought out by many, many people over the centuries, over thousands of years. We have Martin Luther, we have Paul Robeson, we have Chrysostom, we have Jesus himself said exactly what you're saying.
And we see very facts that they even want to change verses, prayers from the Bible. Because it's anti-Semitic, according to them, so we're not even allowed to, pretty soon we won't even be allowed to read the real Bible, because it sounds anti-Semitic to them for some reason. So we see again the very facts, you know. All this, especially what ADL has been doing, nothing but fighting against us, against the Armenian genocide recognition. As we hear in Boston, they got kicked out of some city councils. No more hate. They claim no hate.
No place for hateful hate.
But they spread hateful and lies. They're pretty much Talmudic, Kabbalist people who deceive people. You see, the Bible has a good word where it says, Satan comes like an angel of God, but it's darkness. When evil comes, they're not going to, they don't tell us, I'm going to harm you. They harm us very slowly, but very good, as we see. And they tried to assimilate Armenians in Lebanon. They weren't, because Lebanese government respected us and they let us our churches and they let our religion exist. They tried to assimilate Armenians of Iran. They weren't, because Iranian government, during Shah and after, they respected the Armenians. They wanted to assimilate Armenians throughout the world, but they weren't. But we see right now, in the United States, the preaching that goes on. We are all Americans. We need to speak English. We need to become Americans. And this is American pride. You know, all this brainwashing going on. Why are not we allowed to live in this country and identify ourselves as Armenians, but respect the country we live in? I never understood that part. Why?
It's very interesting.
We see very, very specifically planned cultural genocide that was going on in communism, and it is going on right now here, unfortunately. Communism, it was control of economy, control of mind. Over here, again, control of economy and control of mind through drugs, unfortunately.
Not just drugs, from infancy to graveyard, the government gets involved in our lives, in the education of children, and in the molding.
Public school is a destruction. It's a complete destruction of human mind, because we see what's going on with the Prozac, with the ADHD, all these new terms they come on. They come on with drug addiction. Once you're a drug addict, you're always a drug addict. This nonsense, you know, if you study all these AA movements and all these rehabilitative matters, you will see specifically it's coming from, again, very strong Zionists who want to control human mind. It's very dangerous.
What have you seen of the prison system in California and the effects that it has on the community and on the minds of those who unfortunately end up involved in that system?
Well, over here, if you go to prison, you don't come out a normal person. You will come out pretty much more criminal. And it's a very important question, but I'd like to answer it very short, because this is what's going on. Through the media, they spread the hatred towards criminals. Criminals are supposed to be behind bars. Criminals are supposed to be punished. Criminals are supposed to be after three times lifetime, you know. But what, and modest families believe in it with a good conscience, because they think they're not being lied to. It's very important to find that out, that the modest and humble families, they want their own protection, their children not to be associated with evil, which is very good and understood. But this is what's happening. Every individual that is in prison that has a family, the future of that family is more dangerous than now. And the future of this country is more dangerous than now, because prison population is growing. And the Armenians, for example, have to be mixed with certain Spanish, Latino gangs in here. And they cannot just live on their own, because they will be harassed otherwise. So they go under a certain ethnicity. So what is slowly but very specifically, they're being brainwashed into gang society in prisons. And this is deliberately done through the prison systems. They don't care about these individuals who God created. And they don't care about human life. I was talking to a district attorney a few days ago, actually. He said, I'm not here to change souls. I'm here to punish. And, you know, you could see this evil in these people.
And the punish.
Punish, but to a certain limit, to re-educate and re, you know, give a rebirth to this person, to get back to his family so he can live calmly and respect, with respect to others. But they spread so much hatred even to into the criminals that there is this hatred between society and criminals, and it's never going to stop unless we change it. And of course, if you go to churches today, I'm not talking about all churches, but I can say comfortably about 70 to 80% of the churches that they call themselves Christians, which are being controlled by Freemason powers, they specifically want this to be done, unfortunately. They don't preach the word of God. They preach false gods. They preach the God that is going to be worshipped in Temple of Solomon, but not Jesus Christ, unfortunately.
So they strip our American citizens of their humanity and then expect that somehow these people that they have dehumanized are going to re-enter society as...
Absolutely. Christopher, here's what goes. If you have a few minutes, I mean, it's a completely different subject, but it's very important for your listeners to find out. This is what exactly happens. If there's a dad, let me start from biblical view. The Bible teaches man and woman, the head of the house is the man, is man, and the head of man is Jesus himself. But this is the whole story behind it. If the man of the house, who's the head of the home, if he's destroyed, put to prison, humiliated, once the head of the father of the house is destroyed, the whole family is destroyed. Because grace is gone from there. And what we see is, once the wife is left alone with the children, it is more destructive than punishing that person, because they're punishing the whole family, number one. Number two, suppose the family wants to go see the father or the husband in the prison. Nowadays, there is playgrounds in prison for kids. What does that psychologically tell to these young men and women who are 3 or 4 years old? If I want to see my daddy, if I want to be happy where I'm having fun, I have to see my daddy in prison. Doesn't this prepare for the next generation to become criminal? I would vote yes. So all this mass media that is spreading lies about punishing these people, you know, punishment is not a solution. Love is the solution. That's what I'm trying to say. We need to love and rehabilitate these people. Not state rehabilitations, but true rehabilitation with the grace of God, who can really give love to these people and nothing else.
We have to reconstruct the fabric of society that we're continually tearing apart by pretending that punishment is solution to crime. By the time it's time to punish someone, it's already too late. The crime has been committed.
Well, there are certain crimes need to be punished, but not like this. What I see, it doesn't make sense what I see. I'm talking about, okay, somebody killed a person. Okay, I understand he's punished. But somebody's doing drugs. Somebody's doing burglary to support his drug habits. There are crimes where we can, even the ones have to be punished, we need to love them because God created them.
Absolutely.
It goes the same. You know, we cannot hate them. But the mainstream media spreads hatred towards these people.
Yes.
And what happens in the families is, slowly but surely and goodly, they're feeding hate through these television stations into people.
They're turning people into a criminal society. Because if you hate these people and sadistically want to make these people suffer and have no compassion for them simply because you've attached this label of criminal to them, you have turned yourself into a criminal.
Yes, and that's...
You've lost your humanity.
And I see the same the same feeling going through the media right now about our genocide, blaming because the resolution 106 is in the floor or the Congress wants to pass it, because of this, this is going to happen. You know, this is ridiculous. This is brainwashing people specifically.
Yes, and we have to. That's why I keep reiterating that the Armenian community has to start speaking up and not allow themselves to be scapegoated in this way. It's not right, and it's going to have terrible consequences. And they, a good way of doing it is pointing out the complete hypocrisy and to not allow these issues to be combined. And the way they're doing it is they're doing it to get Turkey to destroy itself.
Mm-hmm.
And the Armenians have to wake the Turks up to the idea that their own government is using this as a pretext to destroy Turkey yet again. And they're doing it in the name of Turkish pride. And I think the Armenians have to, in an organized way, speak up and insist that they're heard, that all this that's going on has nothing to do with Armenia, and to limit the issue to what it is.
Absolutely. So there we go. That's the whole simple answer for what I've been seeing for the past 15 years in this community, unfortunately, and now it's getting worse and worse.
How have the Freemasonic Armenians, with their ties to government and their ties to public officials and to their networks of wealthy people in California, what have they done to help the youth who has come from Armenia and encountered problems here in America with drugs?
Nothing but promises, empty promises, nothing else.
So
and nothing but denials, and nothing but more destruction and hate, unfortunately. And again, that's what they've been trying to do. Spread hatred, and they have done nothing, unfortunately.
Is this same type of vice going on in Armenia itself? Is prostitution, drugs, white slave trade, all these problems?
It's the same problems, yes, unfortunately. And then dehumanizing the Armenian race, calling Armenians all kinds of names, and, you know, basically spreading more hatred within the Armenians. And they've done a good job through the media.
What kind
but
of an...
The simple fact that God teaches us, Jesus Christ teaches us, to love. They've taken the word love out, and they concentrate on punishment and hatred.
It's a terrible situation. What kind of an education system has evolved in Armenia after the fall of the Soviet Union? From what I understand, the Soviet Union actually had fairly decent schools.
Yeah, I believe it had good schools, but right now I don't know too much what kind of education it has, but I know it has still has good education system. The education system is pretty high level.
So then the decadence has to be coming from the media.
Right.
And from...
There is a big difference between people who live in Armenia now and Armenians in diaspora. It's a complete different mentality, understanding, psychology, especially in the United States. You know, the Armenians that are living in the United States, the newcomers after came from 1992 and up, it's a complete different mentality.
Well, that's another issue. I don't know whether you are being pitted against one another or it's a circumstance of fate, but there seems to be a split between the way that Armenians view the genocide resolution and the way that diaspora Armenians view the genocide resolution.
Yeah, you're perfectly right on that, and that again comes from marks of communism, or let's say, yeah, Satanism, I could say. Unfortunately, they've been able to brainwash people very, very well. And
well, what is the perspective?
I would throw the guilt on first the churches who have not been able to teach the truth, because church is an organization where they have to teach the people the truth, not from one Sunday to Sunday to go and pray and go home, but it is for everyday life. That's what's missing in people today. Unfortunately.
The Armenians in Armenia, from what I've been able to glean in my limited contacts, sometimes view the diaspora as being unrealistic in its expectations and agitating problems for the nation itself. How would you respond? Am I reading that correctly? And how would you respond to it as a member of the diaspora?
That area I'm not very familiar of, because I haven't really studied it, so I can't comment on that. But I don't know what to give an answer on that, unfortunately.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. How about the relations between Armenians and Russia? Armenians have always had a large population in Russia.
In Russia, absolutely, yes.
And involved in high levels in the Russian government, is that correct?
Yes.
And have always been very involved in the oil business.
Some of them have been, yes. Armenians in Russia are very well off. They're very good.
Can some kind of a partnership be made between the Russian Armenians, the Armenian Armenians, the diaspora Armenians, and the Azers to exploit that oil and to feed it through Turkey and to get these economies working together?
I believe it
together.
Had been made before, but they haven't come to conclusions. That's a complicated question for and a complicated answer, honestly. I don't know what to say on that.
Well, it's strange that when the Freemasons get tossed a little bit of bait, they're willing to sell their souls to try to bite at it. But when some other kind of organization manifests itself to provide wealth to the entire nation, they don't appear to be too interested. So it seems that we're dealing with ultimately very selfish people. And unfortunately, these selfish people have tremendous power. And we have to try to reorient the society so that it starts functioning for its own interests instead of simply allowing itself to be defined by these people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an easy process.
Yeah, it's not, unfortunately. But
but you say it can be accomplished through the churches. How has the have you seen any infiltration of the Armenian Apostolic Church by Zionists and Freemasons?
I wouldn't say yes. I wouldn't say yes. But I've seen infiltration by Freemasons, I would say, unfortunately.
And what do you think is the effect of it? Because Freemasons have always been out to destroy Christianity. At least they've always been accused of that. As one of their chief goals, they want to create a one-world government, destroy all religions. It's basically very similar to communism.
Well, the church has been infiltrated by non-religious purposes. They don't teach the people what they need to know. I would know that much, but...
Oh, I see.
As far as infiltrated with Zionism, I wouldn't say yes, but I would say yes with Freemasonry. That's most high levels are Freemasons, unfortunately. And if you're agent of Freemason, if you're into it, then you're controlled by one world government again.
So it's no longer a church for the Christian church, it's a church for Freemasonic beliefs.
That's it. And in Freemasonic belief, you could worship any god you want to. And that has nothing to do with Christianity. Christianity in the first century, why did Romans prosecute Christians? That was the specific reason, because Christians didn't want to worship any other god but Jesus. That was their belief. They did not want to worship anyone else. And there were certain temples in the Roman Empire where every individual had to go at least once a week, and they had the paper like passport, and they had to get their paper sealed that that week they went and worshipped their god. It could be any god you wanted to worship. And Roman Empire offered the Christians to put the statue of Christ in the temple, and Christians said no. That was the specific reasons why the Christians did not acknowledge any other gods. That's why they were prosecuted, that's why they were murdered, and that's why they were killed. Again, if you come to the Armenian original church, they didn't want to worship any other gods, and they were prosecuted because of that.
So you had to have a certificate authenticating the fact that
in the Roman Empire, yes, in the history. This is in the Catholic history.
I see.
It had to have a proof that you went in that temple to worship your god. And but Christians didn't want to equate their god with other gods, which is very interesting.
Did they have prohibitions that if you did not have this certificate, you could not buy and sell, very similar to the Mark of the Beast?
No, they didn't have that. But you would have been prosecuted, you would have thrown into the lion's den, all those things that we see on television during those days. Why? But nobody says why they were prosecuted. They would say because they were Christians. No, that, it wasn't the whole story. The whole story is, again, they were prosecuted through Pharisees and Sadducees who complained to the Roman Empire to kill the Christians. And this is even written in the New Testament.
I see.
Who were the Talmudic, let's say, Kabbalist rabbis who worshipped black magic, and they were in secret societies. And in the prophecy, when he says, God took to the prophet and he showed the hearts of the leaders, the religious leaders, where they were in caves. And he said, the Spirit took me and showed me in those caves what those religious leaders were doing, and the same religious leaders, Christian leaders, they're doing the same thing in those secret lodges today, destroying family value, destroying Armenian Christians, and planning the next Holocaust of the Armenians, unfortunately.
What do you think is going to happen with the genocide resolution? Do you think Pelosi is going to be able to push it through the House?
I believe she will be able to push it through. I believe very strongly will be.
And
but the outcome, I don't know.
You think the Turks are bluffing, or you think that they're going to go after some of the PKK in Iraq? And do you think that they're going to try to...
I believe they had a vote today in their parliament. I don't know how the vote went. I haven't looked at the news yet.
I don't think they know themselves how it's all going to play out, but I suspect you're right. Pelosi will get it passed. And it's interesting that they're not trying to stall it, and they're not trying to let the situation cool off.
Well, it's been 92 years, honestly, and we need some recognition. And that's, but we don't need to hear what the media is saying.
Yeah, that's so important to repeat again and again that these issues are separate, and the media is up to no good by trying to allow the Turks to mix all these things together. And it's not really the Turks, it's the Dernmei and the Turks and the Israelis to try
they had this conflict before the Armenian resolution. They had the conflict with the PKK before the Armenian resolution.
Absolutely.
So I don't know why the media is talking about it now. They're trying to put the blame on the Armenians, which is nonsense.
And they're not putting any of the blame on the Turks or on the Kurds. They address it a little bit, but they're not really getting at the root of those problems and maintaining the distinction between those problems and the Armenian genocide resolution. They're generating a mixture of these things which are completely unrelated, and they're doing it to scapegoat the Armenians for the other plans that they have, and they're also doing it to pit Christians and Muslims against one another.
Absolutely.
But hopefully, if we keep fighting and keep spreading the information, we can continue to make it backfire on them the way we made the way the Armenians in Watertown, Massachusetts made it all backfire on the ADL and other organizations. But it's going to be an ongoing tug of war, because there are forces in both Israel, Turkey, and among the Kurds who want this war to go on. The Kurds want there to be a Kurdistan, and they're willing to sacrifice millions of their people to achieve that. And the Turks want there to be a nationalistic Turkish identity, and they want to quash any kind of Kurdish ethnic pride, which is a mistake, because Kurdish ethnic pride can actually make the nation of Turkey stronger and give it a richer culture and a richer heritage, and it's a genuine heritage. And again, Armenia, much of what is today Turkey was originally Armenia, and Armenians have a right to their ethnic heritage, which also makes Turkey a much stronger and better nation. So I want to thank you very much for allowing me to discuss these issues with you, and I hope, what would be your final take on the Armenian Genocide Resolution, and what would be your advice to Muslim Turks who are not involved with the Dernme?
Well, my final advice is, first of all, I believe the resolution should pass, and the media should stop playing and blaming Armenian names every 5 minutes. That's a very cheap shot, let's put it this way. And my advice to the Muslim Turks is to open up archives, not Turkish archives, but European archives, and find out what really happened in 1915. All the way to 1923. And second, they should force their government to recognize the genocide of the Armenians, which was committed by their governments. The Young Turk or Ataturk is the same name, different colors. They should ask for it. They should ask, because I don't think Islam is a religion of killing, since they say so. I think they should ask their government to recognize the Armenian genocide, and that will be a great thing for them to do, if they're honest people.
Another point I would like to bring up is that there is a vacuum of information, not so much in the scholarly literature, but in the popular genres of video and textbook information that the Armenian community has to fill at this time, because the world public is hungry for information about this issue. The Armenians should produce videos detailing the Armenian genocide, and it's my sincere hope that they tell the full truth about the involvement of the Jewish bankers and the Dernme in this. And they have a very eager market for it at this time, and that the Armenians have to organize and stop fighting amongst themselves and start providing the world public with this information, and not allow the media to make this an issue about what Turkey is going to do with the Kurds, but instead to take advantage of this opportunity to educate the world public about what the Armenian genocide was really about. And to use what the media is doing to try to scapegoat the Armenians for what the Turks and the Kurds are doing, to educate the people about what happened in the First World War and how all that happened. Because the parallels are all there, and it's very plain to see. And the opportunity is here, and the Armenians have to do more to seize this opportunity and to educate the world public. Because if you take advantage of this opportunity now and educate the world public, then you will be able to define the arguments and define the history and set the history straight for all future generations, instead of allowing other people to argue about the issue and to define it for you. And you think you've done that, but you really haven't, because the media today is a media of video. You have to make good, professionally done documentary videos in multiple languages and get them out there. And you have the opportunity now to do it. So I wouldn't get caught up completely, as you said, in the genocide resolution itself. I would take a broader, more enlightened view and view this as an educational instead of a political process to the world public.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Reverend Hajian, and I look forward to speaking to you again. Perhaps we can do another interview as events unfold.
Thank you very much, Christopher. Thank you for having me on, and God bless you.
Same to you, sir, and I'll be speaking to you. Good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.